Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's grace, I am blessed to come to him in worship today. It is also my great blessing to meet with you, dear friend, in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Holy Word of God. Learn more about our mission, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. We continue today to talk about the loveless church, that is the Church of the Ephesians, as we see it in Revelation chapter 2. We are connecting this truth that the Ephesian Christians had left their first love with the history and the final outcome of the Ephesian church, as I've taught about in previous sermons. Last Lord's Day, I ended with the truth, the thought, that lukewarmness is a very dangerous condition for a professing Christian, and we'll continue to talk more about lukewarmness as we see it in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord's indictment of the Laodicean church today. Our text is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4. Those verses read in the New King James Version, the Holy Bible, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Friends, let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your gracious word. Thank you that you teach us these necessary truths that we must receive by faith and hold to and obey. Thank you for your faithfulness that you require hearts of true love for you, Lord, that we love you supremely with a fervent love. And so I ask again that the teaching today will help many, and that you will keep your people from a state of lukewarmness, truly a dangerous spiritual condition, and that our love for you will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Friends, I begin today with the thoughts of Steve Lawson, a modern American preacher. He writes, "The height of the Christian life is adoring Christ. The depth of it is loving him. The breadth of it is obeying him. And the length of it, following him. Everything in the Christian life revolves around Jesus Christ. Simply put, Christianity is Christ." Lawson notes that the Christian life is all about adoring Christ, loving him, obeying him, and following him. To adore him is to love him with a true and unmistakable love. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 15 through 16, the Lord says of the Laodicean Christians, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit or spit you out of my mouth." Simply here, the condition, the spiritual state of the Laodicean Christians was unacceptable to the Lord. They were not pleasing to him. They were not, if you will, palatable, as a cold drink is palatable or a hot drink is palatable. But a lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, but partly both drink is not pleasing. It is unpalatable. I'm thinking of how my coffee in the mornings many times goes from a state of being hot to cold, and somewhere in between it becomes lukewarm. At that point, I immediately add a bit more hot coffee to it and usually warm it up in the microwave so that it is at least warm. It is not lukewarm. It simply loses its appeal when it's lukewarm. I think you can understand that. We enjoy a cold drink when it's hot, or we enjoy a hot drink when it's cold, but a lukewarm drink is usually not acceptable to us. And so the love of the Laodiceans, Christ says, is lukewarm, and it is unacceptable to him. His merciful threat to them is that unless they repented of lukewarmness, he would spit them out of his mouth. Sadly, the Laodicean church, like the Ephesian church, ceased to exist. And one must think that their lukewarmness had a great deal to do with the ending of the church eventually. I want to share with you the thoughts of an American Presbyterian preacher, Samuel Davies. He was a young man. He was born November 3, 1723, in the state of Delaware in the United States, and he died February 4, 1761, at the young age of 37. Samuel Davies led the southern phase of the Great Awakening, a time of great spiritual renewal and revival in America, and his works are acknowledged as produced during a time of revival. A most excellent preacher, and he has made significant contributions to Christianity in his prolific writing. He authored several hymns, and he published a book of poetry. Samuel Davies, as a Presbyterian, was Calvinistic in his theology. He was also an evangelist. He was the fourth president of Princeton University, at the time a Christian university. He also served as a missionary to slaves in America. And so though he lived a rather short life, he lived it fully for the glory of God and filled up his days, months, and years with abundant service to the Lord in these various ways. As I said, an excellent preacher, Samuel Davies has an excellent sermon based upon Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, about the dangers of lukewarmness. I now share the thoughts of Samuel Davies. I trust that this will be an encouragement and help to you today, especially those of you who are students of the Word. Davies writes, "The soul of man is in earnest pursuit of something, and it is the nature of life that from our souls men live in an earnest pursuit of something. We all are seeking something diligently, and that knowing Jesus Christ, being saved by Christ, is the most important thing in life and should be an earnest pursuit." Sadly, Davies notes, many people are indifferent about religion. They feel that a little good and a little bad, a little hodgepodge in religion, that is, like coldness or hotness, or simply put, clearly lukewarmness, is acceptable to God. But Davies helps us to see that Christ says that the lukewarm Laodiceans are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's his indictment. That's his very words about them. That's exactly how he sees them in their lukewarmness. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's interesting that verse 17 of Revelation 3 tells us that the Laodiceans saw themselves in quite a different light than Christ saw them. They thought that they were rich, that they had become wealthy, that they had need of nothing, and they were ignorant of the truth that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They had become complacent spiritually. They thought they had all of the riches, the full riches of Christ, and that they had need of nothing. They apparently had ceased to pursue Christ and grace because they felt that they had everything. And so they stopped growing. They stopped seeking Christ. They stopped pursuing Christ. Verse 18 tells us that Christ counseled them to buy from him gold refined in the fire, a true riches, a true treasure, purified gold, so that they may be truly rich, that is, spiritually rich. Christ counsels them to seek him for pure gold, a real and lasting eternal treasure, and to seek him for white garments, pure clothing, so that they may be truly clothed. that they turn from spotted garments because of their compromise with sin, their lukewarmness, and that they receive from him clothes that are white and pure as those worn by the saints of God in glory. Interesting that in both instances, Christ encourages them to buy from him, implying that there is a cost in seeking Christ, that they pay the cost to seek Christ. They give themselves to the pursuit and give their energies, in this sense, buying to the goal of pursuing and taking hold of Christ. Christ says that if they received, if they bought white garments from him, and they were clothed in this way, that the shame of their nakedness would not be revealed. Again, a statement of their spiritual condition, a shameful state of nakedness, not of being well clothed. The idea of one's being ashamed because of their spiritual condition and therefore nakedness, a state of shame, is used in many places, particularly in the New Testament, and it speaks of one not possessing the proper clothing. We remember in a parable that the Lord said that wedding guests were rejected and punished, rejected from a wedding feast because they were not clothed appropriately. And we remember, too, that the New Testament speaks of the robes of righteousness that the saints of God are clothed in. So to be unclothed or to be wrongly clothed is to be unprepared for the glorious presence of God and therefore to be in a state of shame. Jesus tells the Laodiceans that those that he loves, he rebukes, that is, he brings to their attention error and he chastens them, that is, that he punishes them, he disciplines them to correct them. And he calls them to repent, to be zealous. This is very similar language as the Lord used in speaking to the Ephesian Christians. He says, therefore, be zealous and repent, that he is near. He is standing at the door and knocking, and that if anyone hears his voice in Laodicea, by way of application, this applies to all who profess faith in Christ. If anyone hears my voice, the very voice of the Son of God, and opens the door, that he will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. This speaks of fellowship with Christ. To hear the voice of Christ is to hear his spiritual message through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, that Christ desires close fellowship with us, that we have such fellowship that we actually dine with him, and he will dine with us. But we must seek him in a close fellowship, in this sense, open the door to Christ. Many times this verse is used as a reference to salvation, but it really speaks of fellowship, true Christian fellowship with Christ. Hearing his call, his knock at the door, if you will, his call to us through the door, the opening of the door, our seeking him, our preparing ourselves, being right with him, that he might meet with us, come in and eat with us, and we would then eat and fellowship with him. In verse 21, Christ encourages them, as he did the Ephesians, to overcome by faith. And that those who do indeed overcome by faith, they overcome this dying world, will be granted to sit with him on a throne, to attain the royal posture of a king, sitting with Christ on his throne. He is the King of Kings. As he overcame this dying world and sat down with his Father on his throne. A great picture of one of the blessings of glorification. To rule with Christ on his throne as he rules with his Father on his throne. And Christ concludes his admonitions to the churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 3 with the last words to the Laodicean church, his final word to the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Samuel Davies mentions about this that the Laodiceans are in reality wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, in a state of shame, that they are loathsome to Christ in this condition, that they are a deplorable lot, and that they are in a dangerous condition. The Laodicean church had a subtle, latent wickedness, which had no shocking appearance. Simply put, they were lukewarm. Their hearts were not in their religion as the Ephesians had left their first love. And Davies writes, if Christianity is true, it is certainly the most important and significant truth in all the world, and requires the utmost exertion of all your powers. This is a great encouragement to us. I have tested this in my own experience as a Christian, and that is when I exert myself, when I more zealously seek Christ in prayer, in His Word, in the ministry, in a careful, holy walk with Christ, then I am much more abundantly blessed by Christ and enjoy fellowship and a sense of fellowship with Him. To be a Christian requires utmost exertion to seek and take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin of lukewarmness, Davies writes, is a condition that is especially bad because it is the worst possible condition for a person to be in. The lukewarm professor is condemned and a hypocrite. He pretends to be right with God and thinks himself right with God, but is terribly deceived, according to Davies. The Laodiceans thought themselves rich and increased in goods and in need of nothing. They had everything needed from Christ for godliness and salvation. They were not liable to conviction because they thought they were right. They didn't really see their sinfulness or their great moment-to-moment need of Jesus Christ and His grace. Davies mentions that a lukewarm or cold professing Christian dishonors God more than the outright wicked and lost who do not profess a faith in Christ, that lukewarmness is absurd and wicked. And this is a greater sin because one professes hypocritically to know Christ, but the man who does not love Christ fervently does not, in fact, love Christ. Davies encourages Christians to shake off our sloth and be fervent in spirit and to not neglect our duty, that if we do so, it will be at our peril, because true religion is of the most importance itself and is most important to all people. To know Christ to be saved is the very issue, the most important issue of life. God and Christ are the greatest possible beings and therefore demand our warmest love and most lively services. Davies says that we must not be careless about prayer and other religious exercises, because prayer and our religious exercises, seeking God, hearing His Word, following Him, obeying Him, loving Him and our neighbor as ourselves, are of immense concern to us. Consider God's greatness and excellency. And Davies asks, can we trifle with such a great and excellent being as God, to whom we must give an account? Davies asks, is it a fitting, proper attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this the right return, that is, lukewarmness to Christ for His love and kindness, in light of the fact that with all zeal, all of His holy heart, He laid down His life on the cross, He suffered, He gave His blood in a godly zeal to save us from our sins? Davies asked the question, can lukewarmness and indifference to Christ make us happy? And the simple answer is no. Lukewarmness makes a man miserable, just as Christ told the Laodiceans that they were indeed miserable. and remember that a state of eternal happiness or misery is not far remote from any of us, but it is near us, just before us. Christ told the Laodiceans to look that he was at the door and knocking near them. So it is that our eternal happiness or eternal misery is not far from us, but near each one of us. Davies asks, can we make light of these matters and not perish? In other words, can we not really consider carefully and have a fervent love for Christ, turn from lukewarmness and not perish? And the answer simply is no. To be careless and indifferent, to trifle with God, and to be lukewarm toward him is a great stupidity. It is to be cursed. Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, "The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him." Heartless prayer is detested by God. It is something the wicked do. Davies notes how wrong it is to neglect the Word of God. To listen to the Word of God carelessly, my experience has been that this is a great problem in Ugandan churches. Many do not listen carefully to the preaching of the Word of God. They sleep, they doze, their minds are elsewhere, they are distracted and noisy, they do not give their attention to the preacher oftentimes. But this neglect of the Word of God to listen in a careless fashion is not to treat the Word of God as the sacred oracles that it indeed is. God's very message, the Word of God, the sacred oracle, the sayings of God given to us, Davies calls us to repent if we have carelessly listened or treated the Word of God. May God have mercy upon us. Salvation is a labor, a striving, a race, a warfare, Davies encourages us, and all one's heart is needed to subdue strong lusts that are in the hearts of all people, even professing Christians. To break a hard heart requires a striving. To resist the many various temptations that a professing Christian faces, and to receive the variety of graces needed to overcome the very wickedness of the world, to overcome death and eternal death, to overcome these issues which are of the fallen nature, requires all of one's heart's effort. God can make our hearts burn for him, Davies encourages us, so we must seek him for this, that our hearts would burn for him. There are great and numerous dangers, and great care is needed for a professing Christian that we overcome these things: presumption, despondency, coldness, lukewarmness, false fires, false enthusiasm, self-righteousness, open wickedness. Again, a great problem in the church in Uganda, open fornication, open adultery, many times open violence and sorcery, open idolatry, lying, stealing. These are all considered open wickedness. This is a great danger to one's soul, and there must be repentance for these sins. Corrupt hearts, another great danger. An ensnaring world, the fallen, dead world, sinful men without Christ have set snares for those who profess faith in Christ. And to not be ensnared is the condition enjoyed by relatively few who profess faith in the Lord. We must keep our garments unspotted, not be ensnared by the world. Temptations from the devil are a great danger, and resting short of true vital religion, that is, true religion from the heart, is a great danger. Davies says that men, generally speaking, are in earnest in worldly pursuits, but in religion are snails, slow, slimy creatures that do not move quickly and do not depict zeal. In other words, men labor and toil, scheme and contrive for worldly honors, like a name, riches, a worldly respect or honor, but in reality, these are mere deceptions and temptations and lies. True religion, to be saved by Christ, is the only thing which demands the utmost exertion of all our powers, of all our being. The question is asked, will Jesus save someone who makes light of his blood or who does not value his blood with a zealous, fervent love as his blood should be valued? Again, the answer simply is no. And we must see that lukewarm religion is a vain, wicked religion. It is very common, Davies says, and it has fatal effect. That is, like the Laodiceans, those who do not repent of lukewarmness are lost. Davies calls his hearers to indulge in lukewarmness no longer, to awake, to arise, to exert yourself, strive to enter at the narrow gate, strive earnestly, or you are shut out forever. Lament lukewarmness and earnestly seek more fervor of spirit. Cry out to Christ for life and for more life. Cry out to Christ for a fervent love for him, for a zealous love for him. Friend, perhaps you, like I have today, found these thoughts to be very convicting. Let me encourage you, these thoughts are indeed very convicting and are meant to help us to seek God, to strive for God, to want Jesus, to love Jesus more fully and fervently, to turn from lukewarmness. And I can't help but think that there are lukewarm professing believers listening today. The words of Samuel Davies from centuries ago cry out to you today once again. That is, repent of your sins. Indulge in lukewarmness no longer. Awake, arise, exert yourself, take a hold of Christ, be saved from your sins, and then begin to serve him acceptably with a fervent heart, lamenting lukewarmness, and earnestly seek a fervent, true, and spiritual walk and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you today who are true Christians who have indulged in, that is, you've given yourselves over to allow yourselves to be in a condition of lukewarmness, repent. Overcome the world while it is yet day. Repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may overcome the world at the last day. There is a strong encouragement to all of us today to repent from our sins, from lukewarmness and lack of fervency for the Lord, and to begin to love him fervently, to strive after him. Make a commitment today, dear friend, that you will seek the Lord while he may be found in the land of the living, and that Christ will be your true treasure that you earnestly desire and seek after moment by moment, day by day. Glory to God. He is the Lord, the Savior of the world, and your Savior as you value him and seek him and serve him, follow him as the Savior of the world. Let us pray. Father, thank you for conviction. Thank you that you do convict us, Lord, because so many remain unconvicted with little heart, little desire, little heart to seek you or find you. So do convict us, Lord, that we may be stirred up to seek you today and every day. Thank you for this timely reminder. I confess my sin, that my love for you is not what it should be. Help me, God, and help my listeners, and bring salvation to those who have been deceived, who are hypocrites, who are lukewarm and thought that they are right with God and that they can acceptably serve God and evil. Save them. Lead them in repentance. Have your glory through this teaching today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.